Obviously, there's a lot of movement right now on the healthcare front. Tomorrow, the Senate is going to take their first procedural vote on their new bill. And there's been a lot of jockeying for position over the last 24 hours, hasn't there?
Yeah, there's going to be another Saturday night special here. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had the House try a Saturday night vote, which ended up passing. So now the Senate is voting on Saturday on a motion to proceed. This is a vote so you can start debating the bill.
Right.
And they have to get 60 votes to cut off debate on whether they can debate. So these are some of the wonderful rules of the United States Senate. But yes, there has been some movement. I would put it as fairly likely that the Democratic caucus will hold all 60 members to get the bill onto the floor. You know, after that is anybody's guess. But Ben Nelson, who's, you know, arguably the most conservative senator on the Democratic side in the Senate, said today he would allow the motion to proceed. He would vote for it. So really, everybody believes that there are only two members. You know, Lieberman has said he would vote for it, Mark Pryor, Evan Bayh. There's pretty much only two members of the U.S. Senate who have said that they, you know, on the Democratic side, who have said, haven't given an actual answer on this. One would be Mary Landrieu, who said she would give her decision tomorrow morning, and the other being Blanche Lincoln, who has been somewhat noncommittal, but my suspicion is both of them will move to get the bill onto the floor.
Well, that's what I think, because if not, I don't know how any of them, and Blanche Lincoln is up for election this coming November, and how she'd expect to get one single ounce of support from the Democratic Party is beyond me. If she won't even allow it to go to the floor for debate, we're not even talking about the final cloture vote to move to an up or down vote. We're talking about just to open debate. So yeah. If she sided with the Republicans on that, I'd say that would be political suicide.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, Healthcare for America Now, which is one of these reform advocacy groups, released a poll today that was you know, voters in Arkansas and Louisiana, and I think around 80% of the public says that we should at least, you know, debate this on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that those numbers are pretty daunting for someone like a Blanche Lincoln or a Mary Landrieu to you know, go against those. And I think your analysis is correct, especially with respect to Lincoln, who, you know, could face a Senate primary. There's a lieutenant governor down there, Bill Halter, and there's a lot of speculation that he might end up running against Lincoln in a primary. So, you know, obviously she's going to need Democratic support just to get the nomination again, let alone to beat a Republican. And so, you know, voting against the ability to put the bill onto the floor would, I believe, as you said, be political suicide.
Right. Now, Dave Dayan, today on Fire Dog Lake, you wrote a piece about the fact that the second of Keith Olbermann's sponsored is not the right word, but promoted free healthcare clinics is happening this weekend in Arkansas in Little Rock. And you have a piece there about that very same lieutenant governor who might be mounting a primary challenge to Blanche Lincoln, helping to find a venue for this. But also President Clinton saying he won't go because he's blaming Keith Olbermann for politicizing this.
It's very interesting. We had a unique run-in. One of our bloggers, Eve Gittleson, who goes by NYC Eve on Daily Kos and elsewhere, is down there in Little Rock. And you're right, the same day that Blanche Lincoln is deciding to make this, whether or not to make this vote on the motion to proceed, they're going to have this free healthcare clinic in Little Rock with 1,500 patients at least coming. And Lieutenant Governor Halter was apparently instrumental in securing the venue and helping out the National Association of Free Clinics to get you know, this whole thing off the ground. And Olbermann, yes, has been encouraging his viewers to donate to the National Association of Free Clinics in order to get the funding so that they could put on these clinics. Yes, our blogger ran into Bill Clinton, who at the gift shop of the presidential library.
That's
so
funny.
Said that he was down there for some other random events, and she asked him point blank if he would attend the free healthcare clinic. And Clinton said that, according to Eve, Clinton said that he kind of didn't want to because the event had become political because of Olbermann's involvement and some of the things he's been saying, and also the participation of Halter, who might be a primary opponent of Blanche Lincoln's. And, Eve said that's not really true. Halter has been very helpful in getting this thing off the ground. And, he said, you're not fooling anybody. Clinton said, this is turning into a primary of Blanche Lincoln. So that was his take on it, and well, it was certainly interesting.
It certainly is interesting, considering the fact that this free health clinic would not be happening at all if not for the energies and actions of Keith Olbermann and the staff at Countdown.
This is true. I mean, clearly he's raised, I believe, $1.7 million.
That's right.
In order to get these off the ground.
I had his producer on the other night, Stockwell, who came up with the idea for it. And yeah, so Bill Clinton sometimes speaks before thinking, and it sounds like this was a case of that.
Yeah, and Halter has been asked about this, and he said, he doesn't even want to talk about a primary. He wants to focus on this event, and he's very concerned with getting this needed and very necessary health care to these people who can't afford it otherwise.
Right. Well, yes. And that's, that's the big issue. And yes, and even from the inception of this idea, it was also to put pressure on these Democrats who actually might stand in the way of, of health care reform or side with the Republicans on a filibuster. It's not so much about the final vote that they're going to make if we come to the point where there is a final bill to be voted on. But, we're talking about those who might stand in the way of cloture to allow a vote.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a segment of the Democratic Party who kind of shields their own, protects their own, and doesn't want to open them up to a bunch of criticism. At the same time, you would think the guy who 16 years ago tried to put a health care bill through and get all Americans covered, now that we're on the verge of it, would understand the need for political pressure to get all of the Democratic caucus behind it, which is going to be needed in this case.
Right. Right. Dave Dayan is with us. He is the news editor at FireDogLake.com. Go to news.FireDogLake.com. Do you have any take on this the Senate bill? I know there's still going to be a lot of amendments offered that, if we get that far. I know Harry Reid pulled out the antitrust exemption, probably to help placate Ben Nelson, although I don't quite get why that placates him, but apparently it does, and I believe that somebody will offer an amendment once it gets to the floor to put it back in. Have you had any chance to, compare it with a House bill?
Yeah, I would say that the bill in the House is better on a certain number of fronts. Well, I mean, first of all, it covers more people. Second of all, it actually reduces the deficit a bit more. According to the latest numbers, the CBO just dropped a revision today of their numbers, and it turns out that by a few billion dollars, the House, covers more people and saves more money. Those are the bottom line kind of things. There's a million provisions in these bills, so it's hard to say better here, worse here, it's hard to make a full assessment of it. I would say on balance, the House, from my perspective, is a somewhat better bill. The Senate hopefully is a bill that can get past the U.S. Senate. I mean, that's really the key right now.
Right. And so the key is to get it through the U.S. Senate, then go to conference and merge the two bills, and then come up with something that can pass both houses of Congress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, there's going to be a lot of the amendment process. The Republicans have said they want it to last up to 6 weeks. There's going to be a lot of talk between now and, hopefully Christmas, which is the target date or somewhat before the Christmas break to actually get this bill passed out of the Senate. And then there would be a conference committee where they would reconcile the House and Senate bills. And I believe their overall hope is to get a final bill onto the president's desk before the State of the Union address.
Yes. Do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible. You know, it really a lot depends on you know, getting that 60 votes to break a filibuster, you know, and what is going to have to be sacrificed in order to do that, and if that will, you know, be okay on the House side when they get through conference committee. I mean, there are a lot of roadblocks. Obviously, this this abortion amendment is going to be problematic. There's a provision around undocumented immigrants who, under the Senate bill, would not be allowed to purchase health insurance on the exchange with their own money. That's really going to rankle a lot of members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus in the House. There are a lot of kind of trapdoors, and then of course,
you know, and that one,
the public option,
right? Well, and that one, that immigration one, really doesn't make sense, because if they're allowed to purchase it with their own money, at least they'll be covered. Otherwise, they're going to show up at emergency rooms, and we're going to have the same problem we have now, where we wind up picking up the bill.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous policy, and
that's right.
And it was put in there to satisfy people who want to make sure that undocumented immigrants do not receive any federal subsidies.
But they will.
There are probably better ways to do that than to ban them completely and then put them off to the emergency room process.
That's right.
Interestingly enough, the U.S. Catholic bishops, the Conference of Catholic Bishops, does not support that immigration provision. Now they got extremely involved in the House debate over the Stupak Amendment and the provision over abortion. So now they're on the opposite side of where the Senate went. The Senate did not take the Stupak language. It took less restrictive language. They're on the opposite side of where the Senate is on the abortion and immigration provisions, and who knows where that ends up landing.
And the thing is, they should have no say whatsoever, even though I agree with them on the immigration issue. They have no place in the U.S. Congress. They should butt out and mind their own business.
There's no question.
Maybe get their own house in order with their priests and their penchant for young boys.
I have nothing to add to that.
All right. Dave Dayan of Fire Dog Lake. Find them at news.firedoglake.com. Thank you so much for weighing in tonight, and I'm sure we'll have plenty more to talk about in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show.